killed me. That's my God, Ali. He answers prayer all the time. Are we taking advantage of that, friends? Are we praying in the name of Jesus Christ that sinners would see? They walked with Christ so that he would make of them fishers of men, and Christ went into the work and they followed Christ, and Christ healed and did many things to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. And the disciples watched all of it. We must leave something we're doing, follow Christ to become fishers of men, and be willing to see him, pray and see him do miracles. I became jealous, I became upset with Thomas, and I avoided him. This Jesus thing, not for me, I said to myself. But this tithe thing, this is the best investment scheme ever, I thought to myself. I said, boy, I could secretly give 10% to the Christian churches, remain a Muslim, and be wealthy, I thought to myself. I said, this is unbelievable. They don't know on Wall Street. This is how you make money. Oh, the dangers of a prosperity gospel. I was taken in hook, line, and sinker by the prosperity gospel, but that's okay. God had gotten my attention. I was still in a better place as a fish than I was before I saw God answer any prayer. So don't be afraid. God is working. He's able to do it in his timing. And sometimes it seems the tide is going out. But that means it's about to come back in. That God brings more fish. And here's what would happen. I would become jealous and I would avoid Thomas, but I would keep tithing. Eventually Thomas would leave the firm. And I said, good, enough of him. And I would stop hanging out with him and I would avoid him. And then I would be promoted at work. They'd say, Ali, we're going to put you on an all-star brokerage team here in the company. And we want you to be among the best of the best. And I thought, well, of course you do, because I'm the best of the best. And my pride, I thought to myself, this wicked pride I operated under. And he said, in fact, we want you to pick someone to shadow. And so we have a list of people, but there's a lot of people in the company. You can pick who you want out of this long list. You pick who you want to shadow. And they showed me and they said, these are the people you can pick. And I looked and I said, I don't want to learn from that guy. I don't want to learn from that guy. I don't want to learn from that lady. I don't want to learn from that lady. I don't want to learn from that guy. Okay, I think I like this guy. Yeah. Yeah, when they say it's shadow day, I'm going to go learn from that guy. I got news for you. He wasn't dressed nice. Don't know why I picked him. Shadow day came around. They said, Ali, do you know who you're going to shadow? I said, yes, I do. I thought, because I'm a good judge of character. I'm a New Yorker here in Nebraska. I know who I want to shadow. I want to shadow this guy. And so they said, go sit at his desk. I went to his desk. And I said, is this Dan so-and-so's desk? They said, yes. And I said, okay. I sat there. I had an extra chair they put there. And I sat there, and Dan wasn't there. And I sat there waiting for him. I think he was visiting someone, or he was in the restroom. And I read his name tag. It had his full name. Then it had his position. Options specialist was his position. You know what it should have said? Youth pastor. I had no warning. Out of the net of Thomas and into the net of Dan. Is your God sovereign? Does he direct fish? Here's a better question. When a fish swims away from you, what do? One moment, Thomas was discouraged, friends. I tell you, Thomas was greatly discouraged. One moment. He's pulling the fish out of water. He's telling the Christian friends, pray, pray, pray. This fish, it's a Muslim fish. We're going to about to catch this water. This Muslim fish is going to come out of water. Get that other net. Get quick, quick, quick. And he's trying to pull the fish out of water. And he's kind of juggling it between the hands. And it slips out of his fingers because fish are slippery. And I slip back into the water. And I swim away only to run into the net of Dan. But Thomas didn't know that. I wouldn't tell him that for the longest time. Not until I came to the knowledge of salvation. And he remained discouraged for years. Don't be discouraged. When a fish swims away, smile and pray. God knows many fishermen downstream. You want the evidence? Here it is. It says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. In verse 18, it was talking about Peter and Andrew. He said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he's going downstream, downshore, if you will. He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I thank the Lord that people immediately left their nets. You see, we can look at this and we can say fishnets stink. There's many fishermen, but it's easy to leave fishnets. Oh, I guarantee you, you and I both have fishnets in our life. There are things we're holding on to for dear life that we need to let go of to follow Christ more wholeheartedly. Was it not Paul who said, I have counted it all as loss? The apostle saying, I've forsaken all these things. I'm misquoting the scripture. I'm not getting it 100% correctly. I apologize. But you know what I'm talking about. The apostles who left all things that they might know Jesus Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Looks like a worthless venture to us, fish nets, but it was a worthwhile venture where they stood in the flesh. The Holy Spirit prevailed. They obeyed God. They left their nets immediately and followed him. Such as Thomas had left his nets and followed him. Dan had left his nets and followed Christ. And here I ran into the net of Dan. Let me tell you something about Dan. You want to know what he left to follow Christ? He had an opportunity to go play Division I football and a very strong chance in the NFL. But he got on his knees and prayed about it. And God said, no, I've got better for you. And he obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. He left that dream. He started a family instead, and God gave him a job to be a stockbroker. And I had a divine appointment with that man that day. And God was sovereign. I picked that fisherman because your God directs the fish and brings the fisherman into the work. I had no warning with Dan. He was a student of the word. I was in for it. He would preach. And when he was weak, he would say, listen, I'm not very good at this. He doesn't give himself enough credit. He said, listen, I'm not very good at this, but I know other people who are. I can tell you have questions about the Bible. And he was right. As a Muslim, I doubted that the word of God, the Bible, was true. Muslims believe today it's been corrupted. You can very lovingly, as you befriend a Muslim, remind them, say, listen, don't say that the Bible's been corrupted. What if Allah sees that as an insult? What if God, Allah means God in Arabic, by the way. The Arabic Bible, I just want to say this quick, the Arabic Bible that your brothers in Saudi Arabia and the other nations in the Arab world read, it says in John 3:16 that when Allah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So this word Allah, you can use it in your witness to a Muslim. And if they say, you're using the word Allah, say, Allah means God in Arabic. And John 3:16 in the Arabic Bible, it says, Allah so loved the world. So you can tell them, listen, Allah, would he not be offended if you were to say that he is so weak that he allows mere men of flesh to change his word? Is this not an insult to God? Are you not a Muslim fearing God? And you say that the Bible's been corrupted and God give you an audience, and with love you must say it, but with conviction also as the Holy Spirit leads you to make you a fisher of men. Here's another thing you can lovingly remind them. You say, listen, I've looked into it. The Quran does not say the Bible's been corrupted. 600 years after the Bible was finished, Muhammad came and the Quran came, and the Quran would have had full opportunity to say the Bible has been corrupted. Another thing you can remind them is that the Quran says some 80 great things about Jesus Christ, saying that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Why does it say that? Saying that Jesus Christ was the only sinless prophet. Why does it say that? The only thing missing in the Quran is the one truth that will save you, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How interesting that that is omitted. But in time, God will reveal this to the fish as you come into this labor. The Quran has in it its own undoing. I believe, I'm not going to get into that whole thing. I want to continue with this sermon. But I believe the word of God is true today. And yet Dan didn't know how to convey that to me. He was weak. He had no training on how to reach Muslims. Thomas had no training on how to reach Muslims. And they made mistakes. They offended me. But you know what? They loved me. And love covers a multitude of sins. That much I knew. They would give me rides. They would care for me. They loved me. And I knew, man, he just touched my Quran without asking me. That's an offense to me. But I know he loves me. I know he's not trying to offend me. The love was strong as these men loved me. Dan would take me to a Bible study, but there's just one problem. At this point in the Bible study, I'm an angry Muslim. I'm angry because the Christian God answers prayer, and I've never had answered prayer in my life as a Muslim, except by the name of Jesus, through the Christian God. This made me upset. It made me angry. And here I am in a Bible study Dan has very graciously and lovingly invited me to, and I'm sitting in this Bible study, and I'm jealous with the Christians. I'm upset with them, and I don't want to talk to them. And I'm sitting there, and I don't want to talk to anybody, like a little kid. Only I don't look like a little kid. I'm a grown man, I have a beard, and I had long hair down on my shoulders, I had a leather jacket, and I looked a little bit like a menacing gangster. I made the Christians nervous because I showed up at this Bible study looking angry all the time. Who is that guy? Dan's talking to him at work. He's a Muslim. Oh, is he married? No, he's single. Where is he from? They say he's from New York. Well, he looks mighty angry. And then they got even more afraid. Because they found out after a little while that Dan, in his infinite wisdom, is taking this angry Muslim Ali guy out on the weekends, teaching him how to hunt and shoot guns. You out of your mind, Dan. I made the Christians nervous. I didn't mean to. Stop listening to the news. Start listening to the Bible. We're to fear God and only God. Sure, the government's job is to protect the country, but the church's job is to carry out the Great Commission, to love our enemies, to bless and do not curse them. Be not distracted by the politics of the day. I remember when a dear brother in the Lord, an old wise man in the faith, said to me, Ali, can you imagine in the Church of Acts, if you had this scene, one man standing behind a podium and saying, vote Herod. He's going to save us from this issue. And another man standing behind another podium, Paul, saying, no, vote Caesar. He's going to save us from this issue. And on this podium was Peter. On that podium was Paul. What would have become of the church? But they dispensed of the politics of the day. They followed Jesus Christ and became fishers of men. There's no greater calling. Kings will come and go, but the Lord Jesus Christ will remain on the throne. Yeah. Let us him serve. So what happened in my story? I'm sitting there angry in that Bible study. I'm angry with the Christians, and I don't want to ask a question, but I've got all these doubts about the Bible. I desperately need, as a Muslim, to open my mouth, ask questions about this book, so that I can have it answered, so I can come to the knowledge of the truth. But I'm so angry with the Christians, I won't even open my mouth and say anything. I would just sit there angry every day that I came to this Bible study. And the Christians were convinced I was making my list, my hit list. But I would sit there angrily, and I wouldn't say a word. I just watched these Christians discuss, and I had questions on my mind, but I wouldn't say them. And this lady would ask a question, and this lady would answer it. And this gentleman would ask a question, and this lady would answer it. And this gentleman would ask a question, and this one would answer it. And before the evening was done, I had all my questions answered. I said, what are the chances of that? What happened? They must have got together and met. I went another week, and the same thing happened. Eventually, I said, this can't be. They're doing it on purpose. They're coming together. They're saying, listen, he's the last one to come because he gets off of work late. That Ali kid's going to be here. We got maybe 20 minutes to figure this out. Here, you ask this. You ask that. You answer this. You add this answer. They'll have all his questions answered. Got it? Okay, here he comes. Shh. I was convinced. Convinced. I confronted Dan about it. I said, Dan, you can admit what's going on in that Bible study thing you guys are doing. He said, what are you talking about? I explained this whole conspiracy theory to him. He laughed. He said, that is what we call the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Follow me. And I will make of you fishers of men, Christ said. Meaning he will lead you by the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, it doesn't even feel like you're being led. You're saying things just like these people were asking questions, not even realizing they were totally and completely led of God. And who they thought was maybe a prospective terrorist in the room was a prospective Christian, a fish caught up in their net. And they loved me. Despite their fear, they loved me. Eventually, I had every question answered. And I just slowly, quietly avoided them. You know, how often does that fish swim away from you without excuse? How dare they leave our nets without telling us? Why? Right? Oh, but they don't want to. I think it's because if they opened their mouth and really said why they're leaving their net, they'd be humbled. I would have had to tell the Christians why I left that Bible study. Well, because they had asked for things to pray about. I'd given either them or Dan things that I'd pray about. Everything they had prayed about had been answered. I'd run out of things to tell them to pray about because their God had answered everything. I didn't want to admit that as a Muslim. Kidding me? I didn't want to encourage the Christians. Don't look to fish for encouragement. So I avoided all the Christians. I had avoided the net of Thomas, ran into the net of Dan. I avoided the net of Dan, I ran into the net of Kevin. In fact, they had the audacity to seat him at my left hand at work. His cubicle was next to mine, born-again believer. From teenage years, he was saved. He was about 10 years older than me. And eventually, I tried to avoid Kevin, and eventually I met this other guy, David. I didn't know he was friends with Dan. But listen, most of the people in this whole scheme did not know each other. Dan did not know Kevin. Kevin did not know Dan. Kevin did not know David. David did not know Kevin. Thomas did not know any of these people. You are members of not only a godly family, but a divine conspiracy at that. Orchestrated by none other than your heavenly Father, who says through his Son to you, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, because he's seated on his throne, and through the various nations, tribes, tongues, through various people groups in the world he has saved, that he has given his Spirit to in a manifold way, he is directing many to do this good work in what would be an administrative nightmare to anyone. He's doing it, and he's doing it well. Oh, he's good at it. Yeah. Eventually, I said, 2.5 years at this point have passed in the story, and every time I've tried to leave to go back to New York, my plans fall short. Something else happens, and I'm tarried, and I'm stuck in the state of Nebraska. Friends saying, are you ever coming home? Are you going to be a farmer out there? Fish are caught in places for good reason, aren't they? What about foreigners leaving the Muslim world coming here? A dear man of God said to me, Ali, these people are coming here in larger numbers than ever before, and I don't understand it, because our nation does not stand for what they stand for. Our religion, our faith does not stand for what they stand for. Why are they coming here? And I wept when he asked that question. He's like a father to me. And I said, listen, brother, they're coming because we didn't go. And God, who is infinite in grace and mercy, is bringing them to our doorstep. Fish are caught up here for a reason, and it's one reason only, to come to the knowledge and saving faith of Jesus Christ. God has brought them in great number. And God is directing them into the nets of the fishermen. After 2.5 years of being unable to leave Omaha, being caught up in the fishnet of these various Christians, I came to a point where after Dan, Thomas, David, and Kevin, and others, I came to a point where I said, that's it. This whole state of Nebraska is like homogeneously Christian. They don't know on the East Coast. The whole state is about their Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, that's not the case. I wish it were. But this was the exact viewpoint and the impression that I had. Such was the divine leading of your God. He's able to lead. Oh, he is. I was convinced everyone in the state of Nebraska was a Christian. I said, best I just avoid everybody. Best I just don't go out into these places and this and that. And best I just avoid Thomas, avoid Dan, avoid all these people. Oh, but they would come knocking and looking for me. Dan called me one Sunday. He said, hey, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just waking up. I'm tired. He said, are you planning anything for the day? I said, no, I'm fine, because he didn't live near me. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm really planning anything for the day. He said, good. Well, come downstairs then. And I said, what? And he said, I want to take you to pick. I said, no, I got things to do. He said, you said you're not doing anything. I'm downstairs in your parking lot. I looked down the blinds. There he is, downstairs. I can't believe it. Go out into the parking lot. Sure enough, there's Dan in his truck. Get in his truck, and he takes me to a park. The Christians were having a picnic. Many of the people from the Bible study were there. They saw me. Their faces lit up. They loved me. They said, we've missed you. We've been praying for you. We've been wondering where you are, how you are. It's so good to see you. Fish can't avoid fishermen because God is leading. Eventually, I said, I'm going to try my best now to avoid all these people. And I said, I'm going to stay home. It was a Saturday night, October 23rd. I'd done a decent job of avoiding some of the Christians. And I remember I said to myself, I'm not going anywhere tonight. I'm just going to watch Netflix. Because that's safe. Right? You guys all know what Netflix is? You watch videos, right, on Netflix. And you have a profile. You have a profile. He has your profile name. My profile was named Ali. It was named after me. And Netflix will try to handpick and select things from you in some strange mathematical algorithm that no one probably understands, right? But is very good at handpicking things for you. And I remember I said, I'm going to avoid all the Christians. I'm just going to stay at home this Saturday night and watch Netflix. I turned on my Netflix, and at the top it said, suggested for Ali, the Gospel of John. And to add insult to injury, it said you would rate this 5 out of 5 stars. Ali is my profile name. And I don't watch Christian videos on Netflix. Where did they come up? What's wrong with the Netflix algorithm? God is leading. Follow me, and I will make of you fishers of men. He is able to reach his hand into the deepest depths, even into the Netflix algorithm. I looked around. I said, well, there's no Christians here. I'm alone here in my room. At least it's safe. It says I would say 5 stars. Netflix thinks I would like it. Let's try it. I put that movie on. Oh, I have no idea what I was in for. There's a video Bible, and a one done very well. It opens up just exactly with the scripture, and it ends with the scriptures. It is powerful. Right from the get-go, I was captivated in watching. Now, remember, on the foundation of this movie had been the witness of the saints, the love of the saints, the enduring patience of the saints, all the prayers of the saints for me. And I put that movie on, underestimating that and all and much more. I saw the moment they took Jesus Christ in that movie and they beat him and flogged him. And I was a proud Muslim, a proud Persian, a proud New York fish. God tore all of it down that night. I wept when I saw Christ beaten. I couldn't take it. Trembling, weeping, I paused the movie. I couldn't continue. This man has done nothing wrong, was my thinking. The very thought of the thief on the cross who came to believe. I was greatly convicted. I was shaking. I didn't know what to think. I remember I went to my bed, and I remembered there was a Bible from my days with Thomas, the fisherman I'd avoided for some 2 years. I pulled that Bible out, and inside was a sheet of paper from Dan. And that sheet of paper said very easily, in that Bible, they said, Ali, if you're serious about this, don't play with God. Go to Romans 3 and Romans 10. I went to Romans 3. I read the guilty indictments in the courtroom of God, given one dispensation of a guilty charge after another against the heart of man, that there is no one good. No, not one. All have gone astray. And that Muslim who was proud wept. I looked up in my bedroom and I said, I'm guilty of all. I remember it. Trembling and shaking, I went to Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I read those words, friends. I was kneeling on the floor of my bedroom in Omaha, Nebraska. I was at the end of myself. This movie paused just behind me, the Gospel of John, and tears were falling in that Bible. I'll never forget my thought. I thought, I cannot say Christ is Lord. I am a Muslim. But the Holy Spirit prevailed. Christ is Lord came out of my lips. And I was saved that night. October 23rd, 2010. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'd avoided Dan, I'd avoided Thomas, I'd avoid all of them. That night, the movie paused. I texted Dan. I said, I did it. He texted back, you did what? I wrote back, believe Jesus, accept Christ, whatever. He immediately called me. He said, Ali, are you kidding? Are you joking with me? I said, no. He said, I don't understand. What happened? Tell me what happened. Who was it? What was the method of evangelism? Well, how did they share the gospel with you? Tell me who did it. What was his name? How was this done? We tried. Netflix. Does Netflix get the glory? By no means. A dear brother in the Lord reminded me, hearing my testimony, he said, Ali, you did get caught in a net in the end. And the net was called Netflix. And it was in the hands of God himself. Dan said to me, I didn't know you were close, Ali. I said, I didn't know I was close. I'm convinced fish don't know when they're about to get caught. If they did, they wouldn't go swimming that day. It's on God's timing. I said, I didn't know I was close. So I've been watching this movie, and I started crying, and I couldn't believe it, and I don't know. And he said, what was the name of the movie? I said, The Gospel of John. I said, oh, good movie. I texted Thomas, that discouraged fisherman, 2.5 years avoiding him. I texted him, I said, Thomas, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I made it clear for him. He texted back. He wrote, Ali, 2010 has been a difficult year for me, a very difficult one. I've struggled. But you've just made my year. Netflix would have never meant anything to me, and that Gospel of John would have never meant anything to me, if not for the foundation, the living stones that were laid in the foundation, the believers, each of them a living stone in a foundation that God laid in this great witnessing structure, where at the capstone was Netflix, where God took for himself the great glory and reminded his children who were witnessing to me that they labor and they work not in vain because he saves. Even using Netflix. And all of God's children smiled and said to themselves, of course. Of course he did it. That's the whole point. Wasn't a man, wasn't a method. But their witness was not in vain. What would Netflix have meant to me in that movie, The Gospel of John? Would I have watched it? Would it have had the weight? Would I not have watched it and believed the Bible was false? All these walls had been torn down one by each fisherman I had run into. And that night I was saved. Further piece of encouragement at my baptism. I got saved in October. January was my baptism. I invited all these different Christians, all these fishermen to come. And it was a Sunday. Some had their own churches out of town. They couldn't make it. But some came. And I remember someone coming to me and saying, Ali, who's that? And who's she? I said, well, that's Thomas. He was talking to me long before you guys. And that's his wife. And he said, oh, and people saw me pointing around at different people, and they all kind of came in close to see what was going on, and they found out that these were the different Christians that were witnessing to me, and they said to me, Ali, why didn't you tell us? All these people were talking to you, telling you the same thing we were. I don't know. I didn't think it was important. Fish don't encourage fishermen. When was the last time a fish said, yeah, you know, 6 fishermen tried today, 1 came close, you try now. They just don't do that. And what's this business we have? I'm guilty of it just as much as you were. I have my timeline for people's salvation. He needs to be here and he needs to be there. He needs to be repenting at this point in time. What fisherman goes to the water, throws out a net and says, that fish has 5 minutes and I'm leaving. People don't catch fish this way. The fisherman is God's illustration. Tells us a lot of things, and oftentimes we find ourselves wary, as the disciples did after the resurrection of Christ, but not having seen him. They were out fishing all night, they'd caught nothing. Oh, I feel like that oftentimes. And Christ from the shore shouted at them, children, have you caught any fish? And they said, no, but we fished all night. And the Lord said, cast the net on the right side of the boat. They obeyed in following his leadership, and they could not pull in the fish for the number they were. And immediately they knew after that, it is the Lord. And they ran to him. One ran to him on the shore. I want to end with this, friends. We've progressed here through Matthew, and here's where that part of the chapter comes to a paragraph break. Actually, that part of the chapter comes to a close. We remember that they followed Christ. He called two fishermen. He called them in chapter 4, verse 18. It was Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother. And he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And this is the result of following Christ. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Everyone that he healed is dead now. But you see, it's an illustration that Christ saves and raises up from the dead eternally, that people can be healed from sin today, an ailment that no one has the cure for, neither doctors, only Jesus Christ. Everyone in this book that was healed is dead, but those who have believed on Jesus Christ are healed forevermore. They'll be raised from the dead. And here's the result of following Christ. We see this miracle worked out where he heals them. And verse 25, it doesn't get any better. Great multitudes followed him. From Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. We owe our salvation to the finished work of the cross. And furthermore, another thanks to the men who left their nets and followed Christ, that the ripple effect of their work would be a family tree of God, which you are a dear branch grafted in here by the work of Christ. Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the Jordan. It's 2,000 years later. We're beyond the Jordan today here. And the command of Christ has not changed. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I remember the writings of a dear brother who's gone home. And I can't recall his name, but you know him. And he reminded his readers that this great commission you gave us was of great grace. For you could have in your power, the brother wrote, written it on the stars, John 3:16 and Romans 10, that whoever believes on Christ would not perish but have everlasting life. You could have given it to angels. You could have written it in the stars, in the heavens, in every language, tongue, that over time, as we could with greater telescopes look into the depths, Lord, we could see the message. Every tribe, tongue, and nation see the scriptures scribbled in the stars or hear it from angels. But you did none of these. You gave it to us. What great grace. Make of us followers, God. Make of us a people who leave their nets to become fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ollie, real briefly, would you let us know what you and Veronica are doing in your ministry now? What's your goal?
Yeah, it's the Lord has called us to a multifaceted ministry. One is the preaching of the word. It's Timothy. Preach in season, out of season. Teach. Rebuke, exhort with all authority. That seems to be the ministry of calling that the Lord's given me. So part of that is the teaching from the Word. Part of it is the encouraging of you saints and teaching from the various books of the Bible and then the Word. Another part of it is ministry to Muslims. And really, here's a big part of our ministry also, is equipping you on how to reach Muslims. That seems to be workshops that equip the saints on how to effectively reach Muslims. Now, you don't have to have that. Dan, Thomas, none of these people have that equipping, but God used them anyway. But you know, sometimes we struggle with fear. We say, I feel like if I knew a little more, I would be more active in my sharing with Muslims and Easterners. So that's a workshop that we do as well. We also speak to youth groups and whatever ministry, whatever calling, we're willing to submit to whatever the Lord puts on your heart for us to serve.
Well, thank you so much for coming. And, you know, Iran is in the news, and so is Russia, by the way. And it is, we can hear through our those folks we have in contact with, those ministries that are working with Iran and others. We can hear these things, but to see something directly is a wonderful gift to us. And we want to try to help them on their way. So as the Holy Spirit leads you, please just offer something to them if you can. Ollie and Veronica will be with us in the morning, and we're looking forward to hearing from them again. So thank you so much for coming. And we're going to have coffee and baked goods in the back, so please hang around. And they're going to be in town tonight, so I hope you can hang around a little bit, right? So, good. Okay. Thank you. The worship service at 10 o'clock. Yep. Well, thank you for coming. And please hang around.
Blessings, man. So nice to see you.